Hi, I'm Lauren Class Schneider with Class Notes for Broadway Radio. I'm here with Martin Jacobs, who plays Alexei in The Present. It's the Sydney Theatre Company's production, adapted by Andrew Upton. Welcome, Martin.
Hi, Lauren. It's nice to speak to you.
Well, you too. Thank you. Thank you for your time. I'm so intrigued. Talk to us about performing with the Sydney Theatre Company on Broadway in New York.
Well, it's exciting. I mean, in some ways, it's no different from performing anywhere. It's a theatre, there's an audience, and once you're in the theatre, you could be anywhere. But the audiences here are quite different to Australia. They're much more reactive. They clap more. We're all taken aback to start with. And at the end of the show, people automatically sort of stand up and clap and cheer, which doesn't happen in Australia, hardly. Maybe at the opera sometimes or ballet, but it very, very rarely happens in straight theatre.
So it's
fun. It's satisfying.
Mm. So as an actor, does it make a difference in your performance?
I think as an actor, if you do mainly theatre, I mean, people go, how on earth do you do it night after night? It must get so boring. And sometimes, you know, you have to sort of galvanize yourself to get the energy to start. Once you start, I mean, every audience is different, no matter where in the world you are, but they're different. So every night is a bit different. The laughs are in a different place. Some nights they don't laugh at all, and you think, oh, my God, they're so bored. In fact, people are just listening more, and they're not reacting as much. So it is quite different night to night, funnily enough. So I think as an audience member, when you come to see it, it's quite different night to night. I mean, it's basically the same, but in small ways it's different.
Well, your director, John Crowley, has directed on Broadway The Pillow Man, Beheading in Spokane, A Steady Rain. Talk about working with him.
He's a wonderful, wonderful director. He's one of the very few directors who seems to have absolutely no ego whatsoever, which isn't to say he doesn't know what he wants or what he's doing at all. He does, but he has an incredibly mild-mannered and focused way of working with the actors. He gives the actors an awful lot of freedom and room. I don't think this play has been blocked, for example. I think that all the movement on stage has just come about organically through the rehearsal period. And he doesn't try to impose the John Crowley production of. He very much looks to service the writing as the actors do and service the actors. And he's a very intelligent, witty, gentle man who's just a joy to work with. I think I can speak for everybody when I say that we all just love working with him.
Mm. And for the Sydney Theatre Company to work with him in this way, is there a unique relationship between a director and a theatre company?
In what way? How do you mean? Well, I mean, he's obviously lives and works in London. He's Irish, but he lives and works in London. So it's not that common for a director to be brought over like that to Australia to do a director play. But Andrew and Kate had long wanted to work with him for several years and finally managed to get him over to work with us on this in Australia. I mean, at the time, of course, we had no idea we might be coming to New York.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very much just an eight-week run in Sydney.
Mm. Well, we're glad that the stars aligned.
Yeah, we are, too. Well, sometimes we'd rather have been here at a slightly different time.
Now, The Present was, of course, originally written as a five-hour play in 1878 by Chekhov. What did you think when you first read Andrew Upton's adaptation?
Well, I read this version before I'd read the original. It wasn't a play that I had read before. Well, I've performed in several of his plays, but I'd never read this one. So I did go back and read it, and I saw a film, the play, a piano film, which was based on it. It was quite a radical departure from traditional Chekhov, and in many ways, it's quite an Australian production. Some of the jokes, some of the manners, some of the behaviour is quite Australian, and we were sort of worried that American audiences might not either understand it or like it. I mean, we changed a few words, which words like pissed, which in Australia means drunk, but here means something quite different. We changed things like that because it was a bit confusing. But it was I quite liked the adaptation when I first read it. It was very vital, and it was quite an interesting transposition from the Chekhov period to put it into the immediate sort of post-communist period, which was a very, very strange time for people. I actually was working, doing a film in Russia and Ukraine at that time in the very early 90s. And it was an extraordinary time to be there and huge upheavals and the country just being raped by a handful of very, very powerful, wealthy people, most of them ex-communist bureaucrats. Mm. And it was a very strange time to be there. And in a way, this production, this adaptation captured some of that, even though the play itself isn't specifically about that. It's like in all Chekhov's plays, that is there in the background of these people's lives and the period of great change.
Mm-hmm. Extraordinary.
And it is a mix of the... Sorry, Carol.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, like, it is a mix of the personal and the political, and it is how the personal reacts against this political, which is very resonant in Chekhov's time with the upheavals under the late period under the Tsar and leading up to the Bolshevik Revolution, and it's very much the same, albeit a different nature, but it's very much the same in the 90s in Russia, and you could argue it's still going on today.
For you as an actor, are there particular challenges in bringing these characters to life in 2017?
There are, because for some of us, I mean, for example, my character, Alexei, who in the original is a neighbor and a local landowner, is much easier to pigeonhole in the original Chekhov, that all the characters are much easier locate and place. In our version there, they are more difficult because you don't have landowners in the same sense that you would have had in Tsarist times. That sort of old money, you certainly had people with wealth and property given to them by the state, but not specifically because they were very rich, just because of the position they held in the bureaucracy. And so to get a handle, we did a lot of work for ourselves and discussed it as a group on each of our characters' backstories and made up our own backstories with us older characters going right back into Soviet times and the Second World War and back to the actual revolution for some people. So we had to really try to place ourselves in this society because it's not nearly as clear cut as Chekhov's time. So my character, for example, we decided was while not an oligarch, was very senior up in the bureaucracy and the legal side of things, and certainly in the 5 years leading up to the play, had probably salted away an awful lot of money, which is how he's able to support his son in Paris and go to Paris himself. It is harder to locate some of the characters in this sort of updated time. It takes more work, I think. To
makes it harder.
It does make it harder, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And plus the fact, you know, I mean, the play is not about us. I mean, the play is, you know, there's Platonov and Anna, the two sort of central characters around which, you know, we're very much like satellites. So it always in plays like that, more difficult to find your place when the play isn't specifically about you or your character.
Mm.
You know, you've got to sort of slot in and yet make it redolent and rich and believable.
Which you do quite remarkably. It's a pleasure to be in your presence as your company is telling this story.
Mm.
What makes it so relatable for a contemporary American audience?
This play?
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, it certainly wasn't intended, I think, when it was written, and it wasn't even intended when we were doing it originally in Sydney, but with the events that have happened here over the last few months, it seems notably relevant to what's going on here. I mean, it might not be oligarchs here, and... the detail might be somewhat different, but the notion of truth and being subjugated to personal whims, and also just the notion of riding roughshod over the body politic with one's own ego, and being above the law is suddenly horribly relevant, and it wasn't intended directly, but I think quite a few people here coming to see the play are sort of being held up a little bit short and questioning, you know, what is going on here. And it is a terrible irony amidst it all, is this sort of link with Russia and accusations of hacking and interference in the electoral process, and a closeness with a man like Putin. It's a, you know, terrible irony in a way that our play is set in Russia in the time when a man like Putin was developing straight after communism. And suddenly here we are doing this play here. It's a slightly strange coincidence, which wasn't intended, because who would have, I mean, I don't think any of us thought that, we all thought we were quite excited coming here thinking we were going to be here for the first female president of the United States, and we were horribly wrong.
We are thrilled that you are here and telling this story now, particularly given the current elected officials' choices that are being made, and the relevance is so important for the stories to be told, and for you as actors to continue to keep a light on the stories for the public.
Well, that's great. And I mean, the other thing from our point of view is, I mean, what's slightly strange is that very often you go to another country and while you might have your own opinions, you're not that involved maybe in the political process, because it's not where you live, you're not a voter, it's up to other people to make decisions. In this instance, I think all of us feel remarkably involved, because in Australia there was a huge amount on the election coverage. It was almost as if we were here. And then the effect of the election has such a huge impact on the rest of the world, and especially our area of the world, and to do with things like climate change. So everybody here feels incredibly involved, as if it was our government, and which is quite a strange situation, being in another country. But
yes,
it's true.
It's hard to imagine.
You know, I mean, we have problems in our government, but it doesn't really affect the rest of the world that much. Uh-huh. Whereas when you change your government, especially others, it affects the rest of the world mightily.
Yes. Given all of these circumstances, how do you keep the work that you're doing on the stage funny? How do you honor the comedy?
Well, it is funny. I mean, there's a slight myth that Chekhov is tragic and serious. Chekhov's very, very funny. In a production which isn't brought into the present day, that's a traditional production, I mean, there in the lines, the characters are funny. You laugh with them. Sometimes you laugh at them. They're not so much because they're joke lines as such, but the whole idea of Chekhov, if you can get it right, is one minute you're laughing, next minute you're crying, and you're not quite sure what to do at any given stage. And so it's there in the writing, it's there in the characters. So it's just honouring that and playing with the other characters. And some nights some things get a big laugh and others don't, and the changes. And in a way that's what keeps it bubbling along, is that from night to night it is slightly different, and you discover different laughs, you discover things that you thought were funny, other the audience doesn't find so funny. So it's a constant challenge to bring it to life. And you know, and some nights the audience are in hysterics a lot of the time, and you think, oh my god, yeah, it's laughing, you're laughing too much, we've got to get a bit serious here. But in a way, I mean, when I've sat in the theatre watching Chekhov really well done, you know, I get that slightly confusing thing. I shouldn't be laughing at this. But I am. And that's what makes it a good experience, I think. And it also what speaks to you about the same way Shakespeare is such a wonderful writer about, you know, all human life is there.
Mm-hmm.
Chekhov is similar. I mean, these characters, are, albeit from a different time and place, are quite recognizable in their ennui and their sort of victimization through their surroundings and their inability to do things or their frustration at not doing what they wanted to do. And we can all recognize those things, I think.
Yes.
And laugh at the same time.
Precisely. Martin, thank you for sharing your insight with us.
Thanks for talking to me.
Well, I'm Lauren Klaschneider with Martin Jacobs in the present for Broadway Radio.